You need to understand the significance of what we're doing. When we take time to celebrate like this, number one is first to show gratitude to God. You know, and number two is to remember how far He has brought us, how good He has been. And hallelujah. And anytime you remember where God has brought you from, it gives you confidence in where He's taking you to. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It gives you confidence in where He's taking you to. And you need to realize that God doesn't establish ministries or churches just for the fun of it. He sends those men, He sends those ministries, He sends those churches to the people of that generation. Sends them to the people of that generation. That means that you are one of the people that this church or this ministry was created for. It was you God saw and said one day you would need the grace that is upon this house. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That is how it works. The Bible said David served his own generation. And thousands of people have been blessed. And I decree over you that every grace that God has deposited in this commission, in this vision, will be evident in your own life in the name of Jesus. As time goes on, I will show you some of the pictures. For those of you that have not on social media, we always remind ourselves with those pictures. I'll show you that as time goes on in the service. But you see, the reason why we look at those pictures, see where we started from, is to show that if God could do it, then could do it even with the ministry, He can also do it in the life of every individual. I mean, if God is not going to do what He has done for us as a house, if we won't do it for individuals, then we won't be here preaching. There's no need to be preaching. It's because we know that whatever has worked for us as a house can work for you as a person. Whatever grace this house carries, you also carry. Are you here, somebody? And your own life will be decked with color and glory in the name of Jesus. You will always have something to celebrate in the name of Jesus. You will always have cause to celebrate in the name of Jesus. I hope you know that it's not everybody that always has a reason to celebrate. Some people, as things are going, they are even getting more sorrowful. But that will not be the case for you. I said that will not be the case for you. The Bible said the path of a just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. Every year will be an improvement for you in the name of Jesus. You will not wane in strength. You will keep gaining momentum. In the name of Jesus. It will be so for you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayer. Come on, one more time. Jam your hands together. Jam your hands together. Jam your hands together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Please take your seat. Because of the shortness of the service, you know, normally we do a lot of things, but because we're trying to keep every service around 1 hour, you know, we have to just move fast. Today I'm starting a new series titled Behind Enemy Lines. Come on, say with me, Behind Enemy Lines. Say it well. Say Behind Enemy Lines. Normally, because of the season we are in, you know, I would have normally liked to preach a more encouraging and faith-building message, but this is just what is in my heart to deal with in this season. I just feel that many Christians are not aware of what we are and where we are and what we are here to do. Many people are not aware of it. Minister Emeka, please make sure there's nobody that's outside that's supposed to be inside. All right? Some people don't, they just come to church, come and socialize. If they are supposed to be in the service, they have to be in the service. If they are working in that service, then they know they will attend the second or third service. Some people just come and socialize and go home. And that's part of the problems we are dealing with as a church. So as I was saying, we are behind enemy lines. And it's so sad that many people, you know, are not aware. Many Christians, we have our churches packed with Christians that are not really aware of what we are doing here on the earth. They're not aware of what we are trying to achieve. Let me read the text scripture, then we'll build from there. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 16. All right? Matthew 16, from verse 13 to 16. All right. It says, when Jesus came into the coast. By the way, those watching online, I greet you. If you are still worried about coming out from next Sunday, start coming out. In fact, if you can even come for second service, come out. Your mates are going to market tonight, club, parties everywhere. It's not Jesus that will give you coronavirus. Okay? Most of the people dying by it, go and check whether it was in church, they got it. It's not church. Some of them were inside their house hugging people and got it. Okay. But welcome. Those of you that are online by force because you are far or whatever, we greet you. Those of you, everybody, we shall greet you. Welcome if you are online. All right. So, when Jesus came to, some of you know that I'm stuck on that place, I mean. Because some churches didn't even open. I was wondering why. I'll get to that as we go on. It's amazing. You know, we are losing it, guys. We need to get ourselves on track. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Don't ask this question if you don't know who you are. Jesus was not asking this question for them to tell him who he was. He was asking to know if they knew who he was. Do you understand, guys? Because sometimes we ask this same question, but we are asking it to get identity from people. No, Jesus had identity. He was trying to know if, do you recognize me? Because if you don't recognize me, our dealings won't work well. You will take what I'm saying as suggestion instead of as instruction. Somebody get what I'm saying? You will take what I'm saying as a wish instead of a blessing. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. So, young people today, human beings today, we ask people, who do you think I am? We're asking because we're trying to get our identity from it. If they like us, we cooperate. If they don't like us, and it has affected the church, it's affected people. That's why when even government say we can open, churches didn't want to open, they wanted to please people. They wanted to look like, oh, we are careful. Well, careful for what? For who? We are the custodians of the grace of God. If we are afraid, then everybody should go home. Imagine police running from thief. Who will go? If doctors can go, pastor says he's not going, then close. Close totally. I mean, say they are soldier. I say they are shooting gun. Yes, that's the work. Say they are shooting, so I ran. Police say they are robbers on the road. Police. You run to the trouble, not away from it. Big joke going on everywhere. Some people, it's Rotary Club. They are running Rotary Club. Rotary Club International Church. It's a social gathering. It's in times like this, you know what you believe. 9 months of hearing about Corona, you believe it more than the 9 years you're hearing about God. Have you seen the virus before? I've not seen it before. But you believe it totally. And you are taking action. But if you're hearing of God for 9 years, you don't believe anything. Am I saying you should not be careful? Of course not. You can see we're obeying protocol. I believe in being careful, of course, but I don't believe in being afraid. There are parties going on everywhere. Party. Full party. Unbelievers have more faith than a believer. You are called a believer. An unbeliever has more confidence that he won't die. Parties. Real one, not Zoom. Real party, drinking beer, hugging, kissing. Unbeliever is going to hell. If he dies, he's going to hell fire. He knows. But he has confidence to go. You come to church. I don't want to die. It's not whether you will die, it's whether you will live.
Because all of us are going to die. It's whether you will live that we're asking. It's not how you will die, it's how you will live that matters. Because this die, we go all die. What will now matter is how did you live, not how did you die. Because the die, you go die. Hide under your bed, and there you go die. Unbeliever going to hell. He's going to nightclub because he must go. He's a committed member of his nightclub. His pastor, we ask of him, the bartender. We ask of him that you've not come, says. Then a born-again Christian filled with the Holy Ghost that the world is waiting for your manifestation. You're supposed to show them what you carry. This is the time you're supposed to show them that you have God. Then you now go under bed. People have been shooting movies since. There have been traffic since March that there was lockdown. There have been traffic. Where are the people going? Traffic since lockdown. Now imagine when there's no lockdown. There was locked traffic since. Are you sure you are born again, my brother? Are you sure you know this Jesus? It's not a social agreement. You now have the life of God in you. That's not even the message, yo. But let me get to what I'm saying. What was I saying before? We're seeing this thing, Jerry. So Jesus was not asking people because he was trying to get validation. He wasn't asking people because he wanted people to clap for him. Listen, people won't always like us. Especially if you're really a Christian living the life, unbelievers shouldn't always understand you. If they always understand you and agree with you, you're not following the right way. They can't understand you because you're a spiritual person. He said, the wind blow it where it listed. Say, you see it moving, you don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. They say, that's how a man of the spirit is. You can't really understand everything he's doing initially. Nowadays, Christians want, even pastors, we want people to applaud us. We are afraid of rejection. What will people say? Jesus was asking them, who do men say I am? Who do men say I am? He wasn't asking because he lacked a sense of identity. He was asking, do you know me? I know me, oh. So don't ask people, do you know what do you think about me? What do you think about me? Because you want to build your esteem on what they are saying. Let me try and go back because after the people, I'm going to exceed time today. Where's Ambassador Maka and Co? And people in charge, Easy and Co. I'm going to exceed your time. Just no. All the service will be jamming. I've not preached in a while. Okay. So the thing I have, I'll share. So anyway, well, ask them, who do men say I am? Next verse. I'll try and rush. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Can you imagine? People don't have your time. They're not paying attention. It's not John the Baptist that baptized Jesus. And that the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved son. Wasn't it last week this thing happened? In that place? This shows you that people are not paying. You know, the person says, I can't come to church because the same shirt I wore last week is what I see here. We don't even, Jesus is John the Baptist, you are saying shirt. People don't have your time. They have their own problem. What will people say? Really? They don't care. They are busy. They're not paying attention. Somebody said you are John, somebody following Jesus said you are John the Baptist. How can he be John the Baptist? Some said he's Elijah. We understand that because they can think he reincarnated. But this John the Baptist, now they're annoying me. Because it was just last week they baptized. John the Baptist, he's Elijah. Some say it's Jeremiah. Others say one of the prophets. You see, people have a way of just putting you where what their mind can contain. there are too many things I don't want to go into today. People just, it's wherever anything that surpasses their own mind troubles them. He says, he saith unto them, okay, but you that are here, who do you say that I am? Because you're saying what other people in town are saying. But you following me closely. And today's ordination service for our pastors. Hallelujah. So you pastors, who do you say that I am? You ministers, who do you say that I am? You workers,
in church, who do you say that I am? You members, regular attenders of church, who do you say that I am? Next verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, O Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in what? In heaven. Take note of all these things, because I'll break it down in points. Next verse. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Please, verse 17 again. Go back to verse 17 again. Please take notes, guys. Go back 17 again, guys. He said, And Jesus said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed. That means you didn't know this by your natural knowledge. You are not the one that told yourself this. He said, you got this by revelation. He said, it was not revealed to you. So it was revealed to you by God. Means you got it by revelation of God. Okay? Go to verse 19 now. Verse 19 said, And I will give unto thee. Okay, you can stop there. Stop in 18. Go back to 18. He said, And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And what? Say it one more time. And what? No, I'm not feeling you. Say it louder. Okay. I'll run through 4 points quickly before we ordain the ministers and close the service. So I have to move quickly. Number one point you need to note is that we are at war. We are at war. Guys, you are not a civilian. You might think you're a civilian. You might behave like a civilian, but I'm telling you for free, you're not a civilian. We are at war. See what Jesus said. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. What does that mean? The gates of hell is trying to what? Prevail. You are at war. And it's not optional. It's not that, me, I don't like trouble. Mm-mm. It has nothing to do with that. You are inside it already. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. You are at war. It's not that, don't me. Personally, I'm a gentle person. I can't hurt a fly. It doesn't, you are at war. You are involved. Too many Christians think they are civilians. You're not a civilian. There's no option. They don't have that. That option is not there. The only option you have is to choose the camp you are going to fight for. But you are at war automatically. Countries like Israel, or all these Arabian countries that fight a lot, every human being there is a warrior. They know from beginning. In Israel, once you reach a certain age, you must join army by force. You must get military training. Because the way we are surrounded, Israel is surrounded by their enemies. So everybody's fighting. Be ready. Because when war breaks out, we're going to recruit everybody. It's not me. I'm just gentle. See, I'm fair. I'm yellow like Sister Fumi. See my skin? This skin cannot take trouble. You are at war! See my surgery wig, if I remove it, this wig, it doesn't. You are at war! See my daft Scott gown. It doesn't allow me to run. It's because you are at war. I'm just healing all my daughters today. Who else have I not healed yet? I am who? I said, daughter, are you daughter? You are at war. You are at war. It's not optional. If more Christians can understand that we are in a war situation, it will help us behave better. We think we are trying to save our lives. Say, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. So I don't want to die. Okay, you don't want to die for what? To live on this earth forever. That's what you think. There is no safety here. You don't get it. There is no safety here. Offense is the best defense here. You won't go and sit in your house. The Satan you are fighting with is not, you can't beg him. You can't say, Joe, Shanu me, Edakun. Satan is a bully. Bullying 101 says, never beg the bully. It's better for you to fight and let the bully beat you
than to beg the bully. I was a bully in school. I know bullying 101. Never beg the bully. When you beg the bully, it empowers him to bully you. Say sorry, my foot. Pah! Don't try. If you try, he will use you to shine. He will use you to terrorize other people, to show what he can do. It's better to fight him, let him beat you, eh? After he does that, he will say in his mind, this one too stubborn. Let me look for the one that will agree when I slap him. Because every bully inside them don't want to fight. I was a bully, I know. Because your bullyship is threatened by any form of resistance. Even if you win, you are trying to avoid resistance. I was a bully in secondary school. One guy, you know, I bully my mate. When I mean bully, I don't talk about junior. Of course, junior, I never need to bully you. I command you, and you obey. You know that one. My school was a military school, so you don't argue with your senior. That's clear. I'm talking about bully. I mean my mate. That I mean. So those days, what we say, you know, normal seniors will enter the dormitory and say, if you're my junior, leave this dormitory. If my junior, kneel down. When we enter, I say, if I can beat you, kneel down. That's plus my mate, plus my junior, all of you, kneel down. I'm trying to show you what a bully does. It's not that if you're my senior. No, I say, if I can beat you, leave this dormitory. If I can beat you, kneel down. So you see my mate kneeling down. You dare not. Or else you'll be beaten in front of your juniors. So you just kneel down stylishly on one side. That's what we're talking about. But one day, one guy did something to me. I said, you tried it? He said, yes, he tried it. I said, you tried it? Say yes. I wasn't sure I could beat the guy, you see. I wasn't sure, and I'm not going to risk my whole bullyship on this one stupid boy here. I said, if you don't try it again. This one, a madman. One spoiled tool don't take years to build. You know how many years they build this thing? I ain't going to fight you. It's too risky, because if you go and fight him, and the guy raise you up and show heaven, and slam you on the ground. You see, the way life works, the moment that your bullyship has been challenged, all that small rats will begin to challenge you. So it's not done in bullying. Avoid fight at all cost. Even fight, you are sure you win, because mistake can happen. You throw punch, you miss. Can't slip, can't fall. They go say the guy beat you. No time today. I have many story of fights I wanted to share, but no time. We are at war. That's point number one. We are what? At war. We are at war. We are at war. There's no civilian here. Sir, I just am baby Christian. You are a baby soldier. You are at war. Me, I'm not even sure if I'm a real Christian. You are at war. And what are we at war? We are not really at war with the devil per se. Because God, Jesus has won him already. But we are at war for people's souls. We are at war for our soul and for other people's souls. It's a war of eternity. Because Satan is trying to drag people to hell. And we are trying to resist that and drag people to heaven. Plus ourselves. Oh. Because if he can have you, he will have you too. It's a war of numbers. That's why when America is shouting about coronavirus, no coronavirus, I'm laughing at them. I'm laughing at America. You know why? So far, coronavirus has killed about 190,000 people in America, according to them, okay? It has killed about 190,000 people this year alone. It looks like a big number, but abortion kills about 1 million people in America alone. Abortion. They are all people. 1 million every year. And they're trying to vote in people that will support abortion. Because some of you don't know who you support in election. You think you're supporting somebody. It's not, when you see people voting some people, it's not because they like the person. It's because of what the person stands for.
In Africa, we know we don't hear all the politicians are in every party. They just decide which one they run from. They are the same people. Oh, hope you know Nigeria boys is the same people. Hope you know they are all the same people. It's one party we have in Nigeria. Money party. Oh, you don't know. It's one party. You just choose the branch you operate from, but they are the same party. And if this branch doesn't choose you this year, you join the other one. It's the same. So you see the same person running from different. It can never happen anywhere else in the world. Because when you stand on one side, you are against some things. You can never go and support those things that you have already lost before you started. So in places like America, when you say you vote one person, what you are saying is that I believe in abortion. What you mean by believe in abortion is that the government funds it. That's what it means. You can go and get abortion, do abortion for free. So is, what it means is that me now, as a pastor, if when I pay tax, they will take this my money to go and do abortion for somebody for free. So you see, even if the person I want to vote for is talking rubbish, I would still rather vote that person than to go and vote somebody that is speaking good English, speaking politely, but wants to go and kill children. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You are at war. You need to know. So a lot of Christians in countries like America, they understand what they're doing. So you'd be wondering, why will a pastor support this man speaking this foul language? It's not this man he's supporting. I don't have time to talk. Like I said, these people, they say there's no time. But we'll take more. So 1 million abortions every year. From year 1975 or 71, I can't remember, to 2017 or something like that, in America there were about 40-something million abortions. America alone, this is not worldwide. This is not worldwide. This is America alone. For some million. The whole of Ghana is 32 million. That means America aborted Ghana. And had change. They had change, like 8 million people change. The whole Ghana was aborted. You are war. You just don't know it. You think you're here to enjoy life. I want to live long. I don't want to die. Why? So that I will buy food. So that I will watch Netflix. That's why you're a Christian sitting at home, not coming to church. Just want to catch coronavirus so that I won't die. And why does he want to die? He wants to eat this life. You think that's why God is keeping you alive? It's better to even die at the war front than to be alive and be useless for long. I want to live very long. Why? So that I just live long. I eat beans and yam. You are at war. I have to rush. I'll deal with more things in the second service, hopefully. Number one, you are at war. Number two, we are in enemy territory. That's why we say behind enemy lines. You are not only at war, you are at war in the enemy's camp. Because there are sometimes the war is in neutral ground. There are sometimes the war is in your own camp. But there are sometimes the war is in the enemy. That means you are in the enemy camp. You are behind the enemy lines. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. It said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who do not believe. So in other words, they say Satan is the God of this world. Look at it here if you have never seen it before. It says, in whom the God, you can see small letter G. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest they see the light of the gospel. So what God did, God kept us here on the earth, because the earth is actually under this Satan's authority. He's the God of this world. So he left us here to, it's like how they send Navy SEALs or they send U.S. Marines into an enemy country to go and rescue American citizens there. That's how it is. So God left us here. That's why if you're sitting at home, you know, and you don't have a good reason for being at home, you don't understand why you are here. Imagine they send U.S. Marine to Afghanistan to go and rescue somebody, and he went there to go and buy tea. See, he doesn't want to die. We are here to rescue the heaven citizens that are not yet saved. And to preserve the ones that are saved that want to backslide. Because in this lockdown, many Christians backslid. They forgot who they were. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? This world says the God of this, Satan is the God of this world. So the answer, Jesus would say things like, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are left here on an operational basis. We're on a mission. We're in the enemy camp. Let me move quickly. I don't have time. Number three, human beings are not the enemy. Human beings are not the enemy. That's why the Bible says things like, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Human beings are not the enemy. What most times we do when we pray against our enemies, we are praying against our auntie, our uncle, our grandmother, somebody in the village, your landlord, your neighbor, your boss. They are not the enemy. Human beings are never the enemy. God loves all human beings. However, Satan can use human beings. But Satan is your real enemy. Are you here, somebody? Satan is what? The real enemy. It's never human beings. You must always identify the enemy so that you won't shoot the wrong person. You are shooting the people you are meant to save. Even if somebody is a witch, we need to get them saved. Are you here, somebody? So, what happens is that human beings are vessels that God can use or Satan can use. In fact, that's what the battle is for. For who we use this person. That's what the battle is. That is the battle of souls. Satan wants to take over this soul. God also wants to take over this soul. If God takes over the soul, the person will do good things. If Satan takes over the soul, the person will do bad things. I get what I'm saying? And yes, sometimes God enters somebody that is not born again and uses them, even though they're not born again. And sometimes Satan also enters somebody that is born again and uses them. So that's why we have people in churches sometimes. They are born again and they are the problem of the church. They are the ones that even criticize the pastor. And they think it's their own thought talking that time. See, you know the scripture we read? They said, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus told him, "Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you." What does this mean? It meant that this is not you talking, Peter. This is the Holy Spirit talking through you. Down the line, the same chapter, Jesus now said he was going to die. DJ, please find it. It's just down the line. Jesus now said, same chapter. Jesus said he's going to die and resurrect another. Peter said, "You will never die." Peter rebuked him. Say, "You will never die in Jesus' name." And guess what? The same Jesus answered Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The same Peter in one same chapter. Look at this. "But he turned and said, 'Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.'" Do you see? He didn't talk to Peter. He spoke to the Satan talking through Peter. Satan is your enemy, not Peter. Don't keep Peter. We need Peter. Peter can still be useful. The person causing you trouble today can still be useful tomorrow if we can rebuke the devil speaking through him. Say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For you don't understand the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." That's what we are dealing with today in church. Too many people are philosophical. They are taking spiritual things as philosophy. "Why did you pay tithes? Is it in the Old Testament?" You suffer the things that be of men. Giving has always been a part of the kingdom culture. To never go. You can't drive it. Because this whole kingdom was started by giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. Can't run from giving. If you like, call it tithe, call it sacrificial, call it any name you like. But this giving, you go giver. And that's why the first thing we tell you is give your life to Christ. That's the first thing. After that, we start asking you, give your money, give your time. We'll be asking you, you'll be giving till you die. So many people start philosophies that look, and the philosophy, they look appealing to the flesh. Any industry that lacks funding will die. Why are our best brains leaving Nigeria to abroad? Why do you think so? Because they like snow? Do you know why they're leaving? Because their gift will better take care of them. If they continue the don't pay tight, and they shrinkle the finances of the church, you know what will happen? All our best gifts will go to other careers. And remember, it's a battle of souls at the end of the day. Why? We have many church musicians that now sing secular music. Do you know why? Not because they like to sing, because they pay better. Any industry without money, the best gifts live there. So to you, it's a matter of argument. To you, you think it's argument they are doing. Satan knows what he's doing under. He knows if I can shock the church finances. They were shooting my house some days ago. There were almost 20 people. Because sound people are different. Lights people are different. Camera people are different. Mixer. So I saw more 20 people shooting one video in my house. And it occurred to me that this is how they also shoot pornography. We need the same thing. We'll pay human beings. We'll buy machines. The church are saying, "No, give money." But pornography, I've not seen any committed pornography watcher that is angry to give. So, the pornography industry, they are being heavily supported financially by their customers. Then we are debating whether we should finance church. It's the same camera. Panasonic camera company won't come and say, ah, you are church, or you take as many cameras as you want for free. They won't say that. The same way pornography people will pay for their camera. That's how we too will pay for a camera. And if we can't pay, they will buy camera and be shooting very clear pornography. And we will still be shooting black and white. Because we are arguing over nonsense. The people that are telling you not to pay tithe, not to give, have you ever seen them challenge people spending money on alcohol? Should I give you a statistic of people dying based on alcohol-related deaths? Should I tell you amount of people dying based on drugs? Have you seen those people challenge cocaine? That why should anybody take cocaine? You think it's not an argument of money. It's an argument of souls. Because the church is the only body on this earth interested in your eternal destiny. Every other organization is talking about your life here. The church is the only one that knows that after here, there's continuation. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's why don't listen to people telling you rubbish. Some people want the church to build road, to build school, to build hospital. Those things are good, but that's not our core. Are you here, somebody? Because Ministry of Works can build roads. Ministry of Education can build schools. But none of these people will talk about your eternity. If you labor us with things that really don't concern us, who will now focus on the one that concerns us? Do you know what they said? I don't have time for reasons. Ask the apostle. The apostle said, it's not meet for us to leave the preaching of the word of God and serve tables. They say, look for people around you in the church there that can do it. But we will stay with the ministry of the word and prayer. Because nobody else will do that. Your president will never do it. Your governor or senator can't do it. You go and disturb him to fight for your road. Not me. Look at here. I don't have time to read this, but it's there, Acts 6. They say, they brought Karma Law. And people are shouting, I don't have a real big problem with the Karma Law. Come on, there has to be some form of regulation in every human thing going on the earth. That's okay. We have too many gangsters, self in ministry, gangsters. So I understand they are bad people. I understand some people run NGOs and just use, I understand those things. There are some people that are called pastors and not even pastor. So yes, there should be some kind of regulation. And every authentic ministry doesn't mind accountability. In our own church, we've had board of trustees for a long time. I've never counted or kept the money forever. For the first 20 years in this ministry, they didn't pay me. 20 solid years. Some of you are not even up to 20 years old. So any real ministry is not bothered about that. The real issues for me is the fact that many church people, many people that go to church were happy. I said, these ones don't have sense. Who has bewitched you? You are happy that this government want to help you regulate something. Since they born you, have they helped you regulate anything well? Your electricity tariff is regulated. How did it go? Your DSTV, they're regulating for you. How is it going? Your fuel, they're regulating. How is it going? Are you thinking? Are you thinking at all? I don't mind accountability, of course. But what you need to check is the person that wants, say, this is how it's done in the UK. Please, don't insult your intelligence. Do you know as we are speaking now in the UK, if you go and buy food, they give you 50% discount? As we are talking today, because you want to talk about UK. Do you know anything about UK? As we are speaking today in UK now, if you go out to McDonald's or anywhere to go and buy food, they will give you 50% off, sponsored by the government to encourage everybody to go and come out. Those are the people you are comparing to our Nigeria. That before you go and buy the food, police will stop you and collect their own. And you are comparing UK to Nigeria. Are you okay? Of course, the same UK gives grants to churches and everybody. Some of us have preached around the world, so we are conversant of what's going on. Of course, you know, during lockdown, America were giving checks to all their citizens. I hope you know. They were sending them checks in the dollars. Then this is your government saying you want to regulate something. You are clapping. Are you okay at all? You even don't like me. Don't you like yourself? In places like UK, churches don't pay. If they import things for ministry, don't pay. This tent, when we imported it, we still paid duty. And apart from duty, customs still held it that was come and settle them. So like people say they want to regulate. Since they born you, has anything? The Oga of EFCC is arrested. Are you okay at all? Are you okay? Are you well? Why not not saying this. Did you all watch the movie, the fainting, this thing? Did you watch the series? Did you watch Off the Mic? And these are the people you are clapping for that they want to come and regulate church for you. Are you okay at all? I'm not bothered about the unbeliever. I don't have issue with unbeliever. He's not saved. I'm not bothered about even the government. They have their own agenda. It's you, Christian, that I'm talking to. They are attacking your family. You are clapping. He said, a house divided against itself shall fall. You must have some sense. You should, at least like yourself. Not even like me. Like yourself. What have they ever regulated in this country that was well regulated? See, if you know anything about law, you know our judiciary system is already, judges, they just do whatever they want to do. EFCC and co, you see what's going on already. That one, it is there. Politics, why the heat of pandemic, people were fighting for political parties. That was their attention. Those are the people you are clapping for. That they want to come and help you regulate church. And when those kind of laws just pass anyhow, because it was an expedited bill, it means that it was pushed from the presidency and it was fast-tracked. So it didn't go through normal reading processes that they do. What this means is that when anybody is in government, it might not even be this government, but in the future, when there's an election and any of the church leaders begin to speak against the party, if you have ever been in a system, you can muscle that church or muscle that man. And it's done like that in many places. They can just find one fault and say, we need to close this church, or we need to do something to this church, and attack the man. He won't have time to speak against them. So please have sense, guys. Come on. If you're going to support somebody that you can even trust. If UK government from UK say they want to come and regulate us, I'll be glad. Because everything there is a bit more transparent. You can't do magic there easily. Yeah, you can faint. Just faint. That's it. And the same people that are speaking about the church, they didn't say one thing about people that are fainting. And to you, you can't be a civilian. I need you to be reading behind the lines. When a pastor was accused of rape, people gathered themselves to go and protest in front of the church. I'm not in support of rape. If he's guilty of rape, there should be due process. But I'm saying that people gathered themselves to go and protest in the two churches in Lagos and Abuja. But we have people raping the country every day. Nobody has. Apart from post, we go and sleep. To you, you think that's normal? Let a pastor make one mistake. You see how people's vein will come out. But a government official will eat money and be there. The person that removed traditional ruler in the north is the same governor that was caught on video with money. But he removed a sitting. Come on, guys. You need to see beyond the surface. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't be following the surface talk. Praise God. I don't have time. If you'd like to hear more of this story, enter second service. There are 4 points, but I have to stop at 3. I'll do the fourth one in the second service. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I'm wiser now. You are not a civilian, no? Even if you attend, this church is my first time. You are in the army. Because they will shoot anybody. They don't care who you are. Have you seen how terrorists operate? Have you seen those videos of when terrorists enter mall to shoot? Did they ask you, how are you today? Are you for us? They shoot everybody. Children. Have you watched those videos? They shoot everybody. When they throw bomb, do they say, hey, Mr. Bomb, don't bomb this gentleman? Did they do that? When they throw bomb, everybody there. Did you see 9/11? The whole building fell. Whether you're a Muslim or the whole building falls. Islam doesn't evangelize by tracts or crusade. Wake up! Or they come and boil beans on your head and you are watching. Christians can be so somehow. You're at war! The average Muslim knows that. But Christians don't know that. Every Muslim knows that. When the chips are down, you think,
The Muslim follow you and do, we are together. Okay. Do you know the amount of guns that they seize at the border every time? Guns. You think those guns, you know human beings that have it? You say they want to hold church, you are clapping. That's the last institution still surviving. If they muscle it, you can't stay in this country. So be clapping for nonsense that you don't know about. The killing is going on in Kaduna. Has it stopped? Since they born you? You're clapping. What are you clapping that you know? It's Lagos Christians that they open church. You won't go to church. In the north, you can't try it because you need church. You know, you are in war. Let's stand up, Jerry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, jam your hands together. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. We're going to quickly do the ordinations. I've taken all the time. So that the second service would. I want to call up the pastors that have been ordained today. We're going to ordain both for mainland and island so that everybody will get to know them. So please, let's welcome Pastor Yomi on the stage. Pastor Jethro on the stage. Pastor Maka on the stage.